scripture we're going to be looking at tonight in Psalm 119. For every fear, there's an empty grave, and the risen one has overcome. The Word of God brings peace. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Remember, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, and all of that psalm is talking about the beauty, the practicality, the benefits that are ours through the Word of God, and why we need to focus on it, why we need to read it, why we need to hide it in our heart, why we need to submit to it. There's so much that God reveals to us, so much that God gives to us through His Word. And the psalmist is writing of the glory of the Word of God. And in this section, he writes about and he talks about how the Word of God brings peace into the life of those who seek after Him. So if you would stand with me, we're in beginning of verse 17 of Psalm 119. And we'll read down through verse 24. It says, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things of your law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after the ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant. Cursed are those who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors." You may be seated. Again, this is just a beautiful poem all through here. And when it's written in Hebrew, remember each one of these different sections, each line of the first letter of each line begins with the letter of the alphabet that corresponds with that. This would be the third letter of the alphabet. I don't know what that is in Hebrew, so you can look it up if you're interested. But all of the lines begin with the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's just amazing to me how he can use that and come up with such wonderful things about the Word of God. Most of us, if we're asked, "Tell me about the Word of God," we can't go through near this much detail, or we won't. We just don't spend enough time meditating on it, thinking about it. And so he's writing, this is a prayer to the Lord, that God would open up his eyes, open up his understanding, and in this tumultuous life, that through the Word of God, we would get confidence, we would get reassurance, we would gain peace and counsel. Through the Word of God. All of those things are ours through the Word of God. When we come to it and we look to God for instruction, we look to God for direction, we look to God for what we should do and how we should live, how we should respond in the difficulties of life, all of that is found in the Word of God. But too often when we come to the difficulties of life, we neglect the Word of God. We start looking to Oprah or other places to find out what we should do. We start talking to people and get their opinion about what we should do. When everything that we need to know, everything that will bring peace to our life and to our circumstances and to our situation, bring confidence when there is an extreme lack of confidence, indecisiveness and indecision and struggle, those are the things that God's Word is for. And so the writer is praising God's Word, but he's also asking God to open up his heart and his mind to the truths of his Word. Because everything that we need, every aspect of our life, every circumstance we're found in, every trouble that we face, God gives us wise counsel. Okay? So he begins with this section with, "Deal bountifully with your servant." He wants to experience everything God has for him. He doesn't want just a mediocre relationship with the Lord. He don't want to just kind of get through and survive till the end of his days. He says, "God, I want you to deal bountifully with me. God, I want to experience everything you have for me. God, I want to experience everything about you in every aspect of my life. Deal bountifully with me." Bountifully means it's more than I can hold. It's more than I can contain. It's more than I can carry. God, I want you to just deal overwhelmingly with me. that I may live and keep your word. See, God, my greatest desire is to live in accordance with your word, to live and keep your word. Now, even if we don't keep God's word, we're going to live, but we're not going to experience the best of life. He's saying, I want to live well, Lord. I want to live a life that matters. I want to live a life that's full. I want to live a life of purpose. I want to live a life that is not empty and void of the things that you have for me. So he says, deal bountifully that I may live and keep your word. Because true life is found in a right relationship with the Lord. True life is found in obedience to God's word. True life is found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he understood that. He said, I can live, I can work hard all my life, and I can exist till the end. I can do as best I can, and I can make it. But God, I'll miss out on everything you've got for me. So Lord, my greatest desire is not just to live, but to live well, and to live according to your word. So deal bountifully with me that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from your law. Do you ever read the Bible and just walk away thinking, what did I just read? What does that got to do with anything today? You know, I mean, you read through Leviticus, you read through Numbers, you read through all this stuff, and at times when you read it, man, it's just a chore. I'm a preacher. I love God's word. I love God. But sometimes just reading through some of the books of the Bible is a chore. But when we read it, there are times when I've read it before and I've read it 100 times, but there's just that one time when I go back and I read it again, even in Numbers and Deuteronomy, that God opens up my eyes to see a truth that I've never seen before. Jonah, the book of Jonah that I just preached through a while back, that was one of those things. I've read through Jonah 1,000 times. I've heard the story of Jonah 1,000,000 times. But the last time when I read through the book of Jonah, God just opened my eyes to some truths in the book of Jonah that I'd never noticed before, that I'd never made the connection before. And so reading God's word, we need to say, God, open my eyes so I may observe the wonderful things of your word, of your law, that I can see the beauty of it, that I can connect the dots. I need you to open my eyes, because my eyes are clouded by sin. My eyes are clouded by the busyness of life, and my mind gets to wandering, and my mind is full of all kinds of other things. And when I sit down in your word, I'm just going to confess, man, when I sit, I can be wide awake, and I can sit down with the Bible. I'm just sorry. It wants to put me to sleep. It's something about it, man. I don't care if it's morning, night, whatever. So I have to fight through it, or I just have to close my eyes, get me that 5 or 10 minute power nap, and then I go right back to reading, and I'm refreshed. But I know how hard it is to just sit down and read God's word. So we need to say, God, I'm sitting here and I'm reading your word. God, open my eyes to the wonders of it. Help me connect the dots. And what happens is that I've noticed in my own life, when I read it, I've read through the Bible a couple of times, and I've read different sections of the Bible. I've read every book in the Bible many times. But when God's ready to open my eyes and let me see something, he brings up things from other parts of Scripture that I have not just recently read, but he connects the dot with something that I'm reading now. That was that, for example, that was the thing that he really opened up and grabbed my attention on when Jonah ended. But yet that wasn't the end of the story. Jesus used the example of Jonah as evidence that he's the Messiah, that just like the prophet Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, the Son of God will spend 3 days in the belly of the earth, but on the third day will rise again. He used the example of Jonah's worst failure, the lowest point in Jonah's life, the lowest point in his relationship with God, as the example of God's greatest grace. I had never seen that before. But somehow, through God, I was reading through Jonah, and I got to the end of Jonah, and it just popped. This is not the end of the story. Jesus referred to Jonah. And he showed me a wonder of his redemptive power, that he's able to redeem even our worst failure for his glory, an example of his greatest grace. Man, that was just amazing to me. I'm not some intellectual guy. I'm not some smart dude. But God opened my eyes to this wonderful truth in His Word. And it helped me, and I pray it's helped some of you to understand that, yeah, you may have messed up, but God's not done with you. When you repent and get back under His authority and follow and His and get back on that journey of obedience, He will redeem your greatest failure as an example of His greatest grace, and He'll use that to reach people like you never thought He could. Man, that's encouraging to me. And that's what the author here is saying. God, I want to read Your Word, and I want You to open my eyes to the wonderful things that are found in Your Word. The wonder that is Leviticus. The wonder that is Numbers. As he begins to name off all these faithful people, all these families that followed God, all these families that experienced the promised land. And all, man, there's just so many things that you can read through it and look at it. And the wonder of it all, how God was faithful even though the people were unfaithful. Man, that's a wondrous thing to understand. Open my eyes to the wonderful things of Your law. I believe it was Peter that said, this is how you know you love God. You keep His commandments, and they're no longer burdensome. They're wonderful to you. You understand the beauty, the power, the protection, the glory of His boundaries. And so he's asking the Lord, open my eyes. I can't see it. I can't understand it, Lord. You have to reveal the truths of it. And he tells why in verse 19, I'm a stranger in the earth. Now what does that mean? Where does that come from? I'm a stranger in the earth. That's a strange statement. He's saying, look, God, I don't have understanding. I'm a stranger here. Yeah, I live here. I was born here. I'll die here. I'm going to have years here. I don't know how old he was now, but I'm 53. And the older I am, the more I understand what I don't understand. You know? The older I get, the more I understand I don't know nothing. And that's where he is. He says, God, I'm a stranger on the earth. I don't have the understanding to do what's right. I don't know what's best. I can only see from my perspective. I can only see from what I've experienced. And that's the only thing I've got to make a decision on. But You who created everything, You who gave me life, You who knows the end from the beginning, You're not isolated by time and space. You have understanding. So, God, I'm a stranger here. I don't know what to do. I need You to direct my path. I need You to show me. He says, I'm a stranger in the earth, so do not hide Your commandments from me. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to do. I'm learning as I go and messing up most of the time. God, I need You to reveal Your law to me, Your commands to me. I need You to direct my path. I need You to tell me how to deal with this situation. I need You to tell me how to live in right relationship with my wife, because I just keep messing up. I need You to show me how to be a good dad. I need You to show me how to be a godly granddad, an example to leave a legacy for my grandchildren. God, I'm a stranger here, but You know everything. So open my eyes to Your Word. Deal bountifully with me so I can live and I'll keep Your law. God, I need You to direct my path. And that's the heart of the author. He said, God, Your Word gives me everything that I need. There is not a situation in your life that God's Word doesn't address, either directly or indirectly. And so we need God to show us. He directs us how we're to live. Verse 20 says, my soul is crushed with longing after Your ordinances at all times. He says, I'm desperate, basically what he's saying. My soul is crushed. I'm desperate for Your Word. I'm desperate for Your guidance. I'm desperate for Your presence. I'm desperate for Your wisdom. My soul is crushed for longing for Your ordinances at all times. He says, You rebuke the arrogant, and cursed are those who wander away from You. He says, Lord, I understand. There are people who think, I don't need God. God is for the weak and a crutch for the ones that can't man up and do life like it needs to be done. He said, you oppose the arrogant. God, you crush the arrogant. The ones that go on their own way and do their own thing, live according to their own wisdom, they're cursed. He says, I understand that. So take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your law. He says, God, don't let me shame you. God, take away the reproach of me wandering off. God, take away my guilt when I fail. God, I'm going to try and do what you want me to do, but I'm going to fail. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to need forgiveness. I'm going to need your patience. I'm going to need your faithfulness. Pick me up and dust me off. God, take the reproach and the contempt away from me, because my heart is after your law. I observe your commandments. God, you're the one that can make my life meaningful. And so he says, I understand that you're against the arrogant, and cursed are those who wander off and do their own thing and don't submit to your word. So God, I don't want to be that way. I want to live for you. So it gives us peace internally. We're when God speaks, we study God's word. When we observe his law, it gives us peace. It opens our eyes to the wonders of his word, and we're strangers. It gives us direction. It gives us calmness of spirit, and we don't have to be anxious and worry about all the things that we cannot control and we cannot do. It gives us peace with God because we submit to him, and he takes away our reproach. But it also gives us peace in the midst of difficult relationships. Look at what he says in verse 23. Even though princes sit and talk against me, people of power, people who can destroy my life, people who can make my life miserable, even if princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. In other words, he's saying, look, I'm not going to focus on what other people say about me. I'm not going to worry about how other people think I'm an idiot for staying true and following after this 2,000-year-old book, this ancient book that is irrelevant to today, and it's old-fashioned. And he says, I don't care what they say. They sit and talk against me because I'm following you, but I'm going to pursue your word. I'm going to meditate on your word. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to listen to you. And sometimes that gets hard to do. I'm telling you, as a leader, as a pastor, you know, I've been in those churches where you've got those that just constantly chewing on you. And it's hard not to listen to them. It's hard not to just dwell on what they're saying, the negativity, and how they don't like this and how they don't like that. And if that preacher had just preached this, if he'd just do this, if he'd just do that, I can't believe. And it's hard not to focus on it. You hear it. But the only way you can fight against it, the only way you can stand against it and endure, is to meditate on God's word. Don't listen to what all the negativity of the world says and the people in your sphere say. Don't worry about them. You focus on the truth of God's word. Sometimes it's your own self that you can't listen to. Sometimes we have a tendency to beat ourselves up and talk, just really be negative about us. And sometimes we have to not listen to the own inner voice we have. Man, you've messed up too bad. God can't use you. Man, you're an idiot. I can't believe you did this kind of stupid stuff. You ever say those kind of things to yourself? I talk to myself like that all the time. But then I have to consciously stop listening to me and start listening to God's word and meditating on the truth of God's word. And whether it's an external voice or an internal voice, we can't listen to it. We've got to listen to the word of God and meditate on it. It's like Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, don't worry and stress over things, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to the Lord. And then he goes on a little bit further down. He says, whatever is true, whatever is beautiful, whatever is a good report, whatever is holy, dwell on those things, and the peace of God will guard your heart. And then a little bit later down, he says, put these things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And that's exactly what the author is saying here. Don't listen to the negative voices, external or internal. Focus on what the Word of God says about you, about your circumstances, and about God's attitude towards you. And let that guard your heart and your mind. Bring peace in the midst of difficult days and difficult circumstances. It says, your testimonies are also my delight, for they are my counselors. The testimonies, the things that God has done, the scripture that gives us examples of how God has been faithful to other people when they've messed up, and how God has directed them and used them to do things. And he says, look, your testimonies are what's going to counsel my actions. Your word, the truth about who you are and what you've done, that's what's going to guide my decision-making process. They're going to be my counselors. Now, we all need godly friends we can talk to, but you got to be careful who you ask advice from. Even church folks, a lot of times, don't give godly advice. They just all in their flesh. And they don't give godly counsel. So you got to be very careful who you let speak into your life and give you counsel. And so, again, he's in the thing, he's talking about gives us peace in the middle of tumultuous relationships. Sometimes we don't know what to do, and we need somebody to tell us. But if they don't tell us, what they tell us doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't listen to it. It says the testimonies of God, your Word, how you have functioned, how you have acted, how you have directed people in the past, how your Word tells me I'm supposed to walk through these troubles and these difficult days, how I'm supposed to respond in this difficult relationship, how I'm supposed to respond to these difficult people in these difficult circumstances, that's going to direct my path. That's going to make my decisions for me. Because I'm a stranger here. God, you know everything. And because you're God, created everything, you know what's best, even when it doesn't make any sense. So God, I'm going to get counsel from your Word first and foremost. Now, church, you need to be in the book enough. You need to study the Word of God enough that when your co-workers have questions, you give godly counsel. When your church brothers and sisters have questions, they can come to you and you can give godly counsel. Your opinion doesn't matter. So what does the Word of God say? And even if it doesn't seem to make any sense, and it's hard to wrap your brain around, give godly counsel. You need to be known for someone who gives godly counsel, because that's the only counsel that will correct things and be right. Okay? So the Word of God brings peace internally. It brings peace in the midst of difficult circumstances. It brings peace in the midst of harsh relationships. And when negativity comes around, the Word of God gives good counsel. God will never steer us wrong. So we need to spend time in the Word of God and ask Him, God, open up my eyes to the wonders of your Word. Those wonderful things that seem to be hidden but will be revealed at the right time. Let me read through your Word, and even though it doesn't seem like I'm getting anything out of it, God, I'm planting those seeds. I'm planting that Word so when the circumstance comes up, you'll have something to bring back to my memory. Oh, that's what that meant. That's how that applies. But if we don't hide it in our heart, God's not got nothing to draw back to our memory. So even when you don't understand it, God's using it. He may just be just storing it up for a later date when you need it. So make the well deep so He'll have plenty to draw from when you need the counsel. All right? Well, hey, let's pray. Let's just thank God for His Word. Thank God for His faithfulness. And maybe you're in a situation or a circumstance where you need some godly counsel. You need some wisdom. And let's just pray that God will open your eyes to the wonderful things in His Word so that you can live, and you can honor Him with your life. All right? Let's pray. God, thank you.